We've been talking about pretty heavily about missions and redefining what it is to be missionaries. Who's a missionary? Four of you raised your hands, and some of you said, Tibby, I love you, Tibby. Tibby's a missionary, right? Who's a missionary? Yell it out again. All of us. Why do you say that? Isn't a missionary those dudes over there? Are those dudes over there missionaries? Yes. People in China and in Delaware, for some reason, those people are on mission. They're gone. And so, but how is it if we don't go somewhere else to a different location, we're still fulfilling the Great Commission and going? How is it for those of us who don't feel called to go to enter a place here? Jen had a dream the other day that we moved to Belize. But why is it? How are we still missionaries if we stay in the same place? How can we be faithful to the Great Commission that says, go make disciples? How? Our home, our work, our relationships, our neighborhoods, what else? Hobbies, schools, training classes, Starbucks trips for some reason, Chick-fil-A, we all know that's where God is, right? That's like the burning bush of the United States. By the way, I don't believe that at all. We are called to be on mission. We've been talking about that. We've beat that dog until she can barely walk. But here's what it is. Mission is literally taking salvation that we have and sharing it with people as we go into our everyday lives and to the nations. Amen? Sharing the gospel of Jesus in two ways, with your words and with your actions. How necessary are both of them? Why are your words necessary? Just live out loud for Jesus and people will know. What's wrong with that? How will they know? Right? How will they know unless they're told? And how will they know if someone isn't preached to them? How do they know if someone doesn't be sent to preach? How do they know someone preaching literally with your mouth? Confess with your mouth, it says in Romans. Confess with your mouth, okay? And then the other side of it, why are actions important? And this is Americana at its finest. What's wrong with actions not matching your preaching? Then they won't believe it. You can't back up what you say. Think about this. Think about how miserable a lot of church folk are, right? Just think about the most. Maybe you're a miserable church folk, right? And you're just like, ugh, and you're like, I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Where? Joy, joy, what the heck? Joy. But wasn't that sign that we saw in Texas one time on the side of the highway that says, hey, Christians, let your face know you're saved? And so if you don't act what you believe, and all of those things come down to this. One thing is not sharing the gospel with your mouth and not sharing gospel with your lifestyle is that those things are from a heart that has either forgotten what it is to be truly saved or has never been truly saved. Because when you know the living God, we've read it, we said Isaiah 6, we've been all over the place with this, is that when people's hearts are really changed, the answer is yes, Lord. And so when it's yes, Lord, I want to go share, I want to be the church, I want to be who you want me to be, I want to share the gospel with people, those things come from a heart that's overwhelmed by the gospel, remember? And some of you will say, well, yeah, I need to be trained up. I will say, yes, you do need to be trained up, but answer me this question. Why is it that when the most people reach other people for Jesus is when they're first saved? You understand what I'm saying? Think about the lifestyle of a Christian. Here's dirty, non-believing sinner, right? Completely not like us. They smell, they're dirty, they got all these issues, they're not clean and awesome like we are, right? Then all of a sudden, boom, their heathenness is broken, and they come to know Jesus, and they're very what? Zealous, enthusiastic. Why? Because they were blind. They once were blind, now they see, and it's an overflow of their heart, right? And so they're very excited. And so instead of this big evangelism tag that we put on things, they go say, Mom, guess what? You know, all that stuff I've been dealing with, the Lord is healing me. Jesus came into my life, and now I am new, and I'm not perfect, but God is doing something in me. And people see that and the change, and they're touched. When we see a new believer come, that's when we see the most fruit of evangelism in their life. And then it happens. The Christendom monster ascends from heaven and steals your joy and makes you go back to work and makes you stop sharing Jesus with people because now you're a Christian by association and you've lost your joy and life hits you again. And I'm not saying that all of us do this exactly the same way, but how many of you shared Jesus zealously when you first became saved? Let's just do an experiment. How many? Raise your hand. Like, raise your hand. I can't be wrong on this. I have pride issues. How many of you feel like you still share Jesus that enthusiastically as you did when you first believed that much? Oh, there is something to be said. Oh, whatever, superstar. All right. Why? It's because some of us have traded that joy and that zeal and that heart for the lost with the good things happen. We start to learn how to grow, right? We grow in Jesus and we be discipled and hopefully we're consuming the word and we're growing. And in that, there's either a break in discipleship relationships or something, but I don't know if you've ever read Richard Foster's book on celebration of disciplines. One of them in there is, one of the disciplines that we need to celebrate is joy and to partay. Amen? And so when you're a miserable believer, is there anything such thing as a miserable believer? This is a world of like I can't talk. This is a two-sided coin, right? Some of us are miserable, and some of us are, you know, those annoyingly joyful Christian people? Does anybody know those people? Oh, my Lord, people just died next door in my house. Lord, it's good. Amen. Amen. You know, those people that are overly, you know, everything happens and they're just smiling. And you're like, she's going to break up at any minute now, right? Our heart is to do this, is to remember the zeal that we had with Jesus when he first found us, and to live out loud in a way that changes other people's lives. Training is necessary. You're growing in Jesus Christ, being discipled, but it's not as difficult as we want to make it. The only difficulty is the excuses and the reasons why we can't just say we're afraid to share the gospel with people. Let's all admit, we are sometimes or all the time afraid to live out what's in inside of us. And that's normal, right? Everybody wants to feel, I'm an affirmation-needing chia pet. I need to be watered every day and groomed every day. My little affirmation, little sprouts come out and I need to be weeded. I need affirmation all the time. But the thing is, quite honestly, is that if I learn and I grow to trust the Lord and just live out what he's doing on the inside and share with people, even on my worst day, if I come in here and let's just say I lost my mind today and I'm yelling it at our elders and I'm ripping the tech team a new one and I've totally just blown it, I can still work backwards from that. If I just blew it with my kids, I can go back and apologize. I can go back and seek forgiveness and grace. And you know what? Some of the best evangelism that my kids has ever been, you know what? Daddy did not look like Jesus right there. Please forgive me. Any parents testify up in here? All right. So, here are some things that we've talked about. I'm just going to run through them in 2 seconds. These are all, is there good enough reasons in the scriptures on why we should be living missionally? The answer should be yes. Everybody say yes. Here's some things we've talked about over the last 4 weeks. This is week 5. It's commanded by Jesus. It fulfills the great commandment and the great commission. It's the real reaction to true salvation. It's birthed in the promise that God gave through Abraham to the people that we reach now. It's a part of the purchase because of Christ's blood. He purchased the people we reach because the harvest is plentiful. Amen? The laborers are few because the destiny of the lost. We ended with that very, very heavy thing last week, is that people literally go to hell. There is really a place that is not moonbeams and puppies and Jesus all the time. It is hell, gnashing of teeth, death, things that won't rest, things that just continually are in pain and without the Lord forever. It's a very serious thing. Amen? Logically necessary for people to hear the gospel. We are going to be held accountable because it's the purpose and the mission of the church. It's because we're commissioned to go find true worshipers of Jesus. We need to do something to stretch ourselves. It stretches us. It's our duty so we can go home. It brings restoration to people. It is the call of your life to reach people in Jesus' name. That's it. Amen? Yeah, but what about what college I'm supposed to go to? Think about this. If you just flip the coin for a minute and went to B-side college and you went and you lived for Jesus at whatever B-side college was, and you shared the gospel, you had a Bible study with people, and maybe God really wanted you to go to, let's say, a heavenly school like K-State, and you went to some very ungodly place like KU. Okay, let's just say that happened. I know none of you would do that. But do you think if you went to KU and still lived for Jesus, you would have honored his name? It's not always where you are, it's what you do. If God calls you to a specific thing, amen. We've talked about that. Is God sovereign enough to make it clear? If God of the ages really wants you to be in the middle of the hood in New York, in the boroughs, in Queens, or wherever it is, do you think God is big enough to put your butt there? Yes. And so right now, what can you do? Be obedient and be faithful. Today we move over into from the whys, and today we're just going to talk about a little bit of the hows. Everybody say the how. Let's talk about how we can implement things in our life to be missional. And number one, this is everything we've just covered. This is just our first point this morning, is that your heart matters. The reason why we want to share Jesus with people is really we have to depend on where our heart is. This is a great gauge for you. If you care about people immensely and you're overwhelmed for people and you love people and you love the lost and you love people that are believers that are struggling, if you love people, that's an amazing heart. But what about you that, honestly, if we're going to be real honest with people, are really annoyed by people? How many of us, without raising our hands, really have a problem with people? We live in the city, right? We live in a place where half the people I talk to are lying to me. Literally, okay? Of half the people, I'm going to pay you, and I'm going to give you, and over the years, when people lie to you, or people keep falling back into the thing, you just, what happens to you? You become calloused. You become cynical. And then my heart starts to become more burdened with just whatever God wants me to do instead of, which is a good thing, right? Some days you only make it through in obedience, right? Some days you wake up and your husband is being a complete knucklehead. And guess what, ladies? What are you called to do? Slap him. That's right. All right, marriage series. Let's start over. Ephesians 5, everyone. Okay. All right. You're supposed to do the role. But quite honestly, day in, day out, just doing the role, you're going to end up fizzling. And so you've got it to the heart of things. Paul says this, one of my favorite texts in all the Bible, Acts 20:24. He says, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about his wonderful grace. Paul says, my life's not worth anything except for what God has called me to do. How does he say that? How can he say that? How can Paul say nothing he has is even in comparison to what God has? He didn't even just say God's grace in salvation. Most of us say, my salvation is completely, it's the greatest thing in my life. But can you take it even step next to that and say, not only is my grace, God's grace that he's given me more than my life, but God's call to me to minister to broken and lost people is more important to me than anything else. Anything. He says, my life basically in the text, my life is nothing without being faithful to what God called me to do. It's a great litmus test. So I have to ask myself, Rob, is God's call to you to be a pastor, to lead your family, to do all these things, the things that God has called me to do, to tell people about Jesus, is it more important to you than everything else? And if we're going to be real Christians for a minute, amen, we need to really not just say yes, but we need to evaluate our heart. Where is my heart? You guys can assume what I feel because I can hide behind my job very easy. I can. I could come up here and I can, you know what I can do. But when I go home, I have to ask myself in the middle of the night, how many people annoyed me today? How many people did I get cynical about today? And quite honestly, is my job sharing? I'm in a hurry. I got to get home. I'm late. We're doing youth. I've been here 12 hours today and I'm going home. There's a woman at Walmart. I'm buying stuff to take home. Does my heart burn for her more than my time and my schedule? And even me being at home with my wife and kids. Is it more? It's a heart matter. John 14:23 says this. Jesus said, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them. And we will come and make our home each with each of them. The key in that verse is, all who love me will do what I say. You know when my kids are more obedient to me? Is when I've loved them well. When I've loved my son, or if I'm just, honestly, if I'm just completely jerky that day and barking out orders, he'll do them, but he won't do them with the heart to satisfy his father. He'll do them so I'll quit griping at him. And quite honestly, think about your faith. Some of us feel griped at when it comes to sharing our faith, living missionally, giving, tithing, all of those things. We feel griped at instead of doing them for a heart that loves to be obedient to the Father. And here's the thing, is that the difference between my Heavenly Father and me as a father are night and day. He's always patient. He's always kind. He's always yearning for you to be close to Him. He's always disciplining you in the right way. God doesn't just fly off the handle and go, Daddy beat down Walmart style, and then say, sorry, right? He's not flicking shoes. A sandal comes flying out of aisle three. I told you! Right? Not that we have any of those parents in here. I'm that dad. I see kids going off in Walmart. I seriously want to take over. The belt of Jehovah shall reign. Amen. Well, come here, boy. Some of you are silly. You're like, you need to discipline my kids, Pastor, when they come by. I'm like, you don't want to give me that free reign. Lovingly. We need to shut the video camera off. So what is your heart? This is just a great time. And can I say this? Last week I felt like we left really heavy. And some of those things are heavy. When you preach about people dying and going to hell, it's very serious. And we all get convicted. And some of you will say, man, I'm trying as hard as I can. Man, I'm trying to do this thing. Number one, I get it. And number two, guess what? There's always room for improvement. If you're ever at a place where you think you've arrived with the Lord in faithfulness, you haven't. And sometimes I feel like we bring some really heavy stuff, and it's really like, man, we're a pretty healthy body. I mean, people here are really reaching people, and they're really loving the poor and the broken and the lost. Why does he have to come down on that? Why does he have to take that angle? Why can't he be puppies once in a while? And believe me, I'm much more chill than I used to be. Amen? And some of y'all should remember to say amen. And I would ask anybody else here, but I chased them all away. But here's why, when we talk about hard topics and we talk about things like this, just a moment for me to you, is that I get really excited and really passionate and really vocal because we're actually doing it. And we need to keep going. And new people need to hear, amen, and you need to be encouraged, and sometimes you need to be given a shot in the butt. That's the best way spiritual. I can't find that verse. Paul said, Timothy, I'm going to whoop you upside. He didn't say that. But he does exhort, and he does go hard on him. He says these things like, as for you, he's lifting the bar all the time. So for people who are being faithful, it would be easy for us to say, hey, you're being pretty faithful. Let's just keep digging. We want to keep going more and more and more. And the reason why that most of us are becoming faithful is because we have been trying to move this way since the very beginning. And so when we talk about hard things like people going to hell and what are you doing about it, I'm not trying to say, hey, moron, what are you doing about it? I'm saying, you're doing it. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't get tired. Don't get lethargic. Don't get lazy. Don't buy into worldly garbage and reasoning, because the devil comes against those who are being faithful. Amen? Oh, dang, they're being faithful. I best back up. That's not how the devil works. He comes more. Many of you find when you come into this church and when you come into this place, a harvest starts happening in people's hearts. They either get really annoyed with us really quickly, or they're really like, that's what happens. Those are kind of the two things that happen when people come here. And so if you're getting ripped open, it's good to be ripped open. We want to push you to be the best thing that God wants you to be. Amen? And so is it always friendly puppies? No. And by the way, it's never from a tone coming from somebody who's got it all figured out. I don't have it figured out. My heart for you is, where is your heart with reaching people? Piper says this, God bless that lovely man. Where passion for God is weak, zeal for his mission will be weak. If you don't love Jesus with everything you have, why would I even expect you to love anybody else? And that's why we always start with this lens of loving Jesus. The number one thing I want you to learn, and some of you are so tired of me saying stuff like this, is not financial faithfulness, is not how to become a better husband or how to become a better wife. Those things are great, right? But if you're not a better disciple first, if you're not a better lover of Jesus, how can you ever love your wife the way you're designed to love your wife? I promise you the best 12-step program to becoming a better you, being free of addictions. I love addiction recovery programs, but some of you are just addicted to addiction recovery programs. It's the next tool you have in your life to cling on to. I got to go to my meeting. Oh, I screwed up again. Back to a meeting. And by the way, the best place for me to blow smoke rings was at an AA meeting, and the best people to go out drinking with were the people after the meeting was over. I'm serious. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? Thank you. What you need is a better heart for Jesus. You need him. And the cool thing is God says, if you draw near to me, James 4:8, I'm going to draw near to you. End of story. God says he's coming my way. I need to go his way. Amen? Where's your heart for the lost? Here's his heart. What, if you're going to ask what the Lord's heart is, and we've tapped into this, I'm going to read this from Luke 15 out of the New Living Translation. This is what the Lord's heart burns for. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners. Who are those guys? I think I'd be one of those guys. Steve, that'd be me. Notorious S-I-N on my shirt. Tax collectors. Love it when you call me improper. All right. Look over there. Look over there right now. She's shaking her head at me right now. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my wife. And the hammer of righteousness in my life. Whenever time I say something stupid. Tax collectors, verse 15 and Luke 15. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. Amen. And you know, that kind of reminds me. Well, I'm not going to go off on that. Imagine that. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. I wonder if maybe that's the reason why a lot of people don't come. Because instead of hearing Jesus teach, you get a lot of crap and garbage from an unrighteous body. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. We all know what happens when you eat with sinners. You get fat and contract a disease. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together all of his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin." And in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Reading that, what do you take from that that is God's heart? This is just simple exegesis theology. Listen to what happens. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them get lost, what will he do? It's a question. He leaves the 99. He searches for the one until he finds it. That says until he finds it. And when he finds it, he joyfully carries it home on his shoulders. Think about you when you are found. And when he arrives, he calls together all of his friends and his neighbors, saying, "Rejoice, because I found my lost sheep." He leaves, he searches until he finds them. He carries them home, and they rejoice. That is the actions of a loving God, number one, to you. That is how the Lord found you. And second of all, that is supposed to be our heart. Am I willing to leave my comfortable 99 persuasion to go after one as nasty and as lost and as out in the field as they can be, and I'm going to keep searching for them until I find one of them, and then when I find them, I'm going to grab them and I'm going to carry them home and we're going to rejoice? This isn't rocket science. This is the heart of God. Dedicate yourself to this your entire life. You will go home, and just let me carte blanche say this, I'm pretty sure you will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Now think about how simple that seems. And by the way, is there any other promises from God to help us with those things? Yeah, we just beat them to death. The Holy Spirit is always with us. He says he's with you even to the very end of the age. He's with you everywhere you go. He gives you power. He gives you words. He gives you the authority to go and do that. He just wants you to be faithful and go. And so if you start looking at your neighbors and the people you work with as lost sheep, it starts to change your world. You've got to adjust your mind. Adjust your mind. And that's really hard in the setting that we work in because everybody's so broken. It's even hard to decipher between the people who want to be saved. Sometimes you get to the sheep and they bite your butt and run away. Amen? Move on. Or keep going after them. Find sheep that want to come home. Amen? Which brings me to our next point is we need to move from, Christine Cain says this, she's speaking a world mandate this year. She's a beautiful woman of God, a powerful speaker. She'll knock your doors off. She said, "Compassion is never compassion until you cross the street and do something about it." God wants to use rescued people to rescue people. The same word that set you free can and will set them free. What is the difference between concern and compassion? Man, those people on TV, man, my heart breaks for them. I'm even going to pray for them. Good. It's compassion, right? That's concern. Your heart bleeds for them. You're worried about them. But what's the difference between that and compassion? What's real compassion? Yeah, this is simple. I just dumbed this down for me because this is how I roll. Compassion has feet, right? Compassion has two legs that walks across the street and does something for the person across the street, does something for the person on the corner, does something for a single mama in our church that nobody's paying attention to, does something for people that we don't usually want to mess with. Have compassion. Compassion is always fueled by movement. Mission would be great if our heart was just broken for the lost. Oh, Lord, our hearts yearn for the inner city, God. Lord, we just pray that you will somehow save the city. God, save my neighbors. God, send them. This is funny. Send someone to my neighbors to save them, God. How many have prayed that before? One more time. You're the answer. You're the answer. Go do something about it. Go across the street. Call your family member that you haven't messed with in 10 years because they are the black sheep of the family. Go and invite people into your home without your pastor telling you to. Go and put somebody up for a night in the hotel that needs somewhere to stay. Go and just be Jesus with them with your feet. Amen? David Livingstone, who backed it up, said, "Sympathy is no substitute for actions." By the way, here's another one. This is a good one, and I need some of you to receive this. Look at your neighbor and say, "Please receive this." I'm just giggling. Sorry. Please receive this. Not in a judging way. You need to receive this, yo. Kind of goes along the same lines. The best way to say this is, how do I say this? That just changes your life. Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit's here. I forgot. Stop the drama. Stop the drama. Hold on. You don't know what I'm going to say. I could be like talking about theatrics. Amen. Stop Les Mis. Stop it. No, Les Mis is amazing. Look down. Don't look me in the eye. Boy, that was delayed. Man. I never know how new people ever come back. What I mean by that is this is just key in the city and where we minister. You know, drama's everywhere. It's in the suburbs. It's here. But here it just seems to have a tremendously ugly head. Romans 12, let me start with this. It just says Romans 12, 1 through 2. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, he says, to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that will be acceptable. This is the true way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I am more aware now than ever that the world that a lot of you come from is very high drama. Very high drama. Very high stress. I believe that some of you, especially for those, a lot of you, those who are battling addictions, my very familiar brothers and sisters, some of you, if you don't come from the city, you don't understand, some people's normal is just complete, I don't even know the word. What'd you say? Chaos. Some people grew up in chaos. Some people, all they know, and this is why when they seem to be doing so well, all of a sudden they just self-destruct over and over and over and over and over and over again. And they will never get into a normal routine. And they will never, that seems like common sense can't even come and inhabit their brain because you're like, you've told them Jesus and freedom. And there's just something in their mind where they cannot clinch on to what it is to start at zero. They are comfortable with negative 20. Negative 20 is where they hang. It's where they live because it is what they've been handed. And so my word to that, though, that is still not what God wants for your life. This constant state of drama that you are in or other people put you in. And my girl, and every time there's a new girl in your world, things blow up. Every time there's a new guy, things blow up. Every time someone tempts you with bringing a bag over to your house and smoking some weed, things blow up. You get around dope, you get around drinking, someone leaves a computer on, and all of a sudden, you're in this huge drama. He said, she said, we do this at church, so-and-so, and there's just this big cycle. And the weird thing is that some of you are just completely comfortable with that. And the problem is that when you're just spazzing out and spiraling, you're bringing yourself down again, 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 and again. And you're wearing other people out who are trying to love on you. You are wearing them out. And the point is, this scripture says, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Some of you really need to be open to God creating an entire new person. You got daddy drama, I get it. You got mama drama, I get it. You got mental illness, I get it. You got drug addiction problems and it's run 10 generations deep in your family, I understand. I get it. But here's the point is that God can really rescue people who will open themselves to him rescuing them. But you have got to make a pledge to stop the drama. That needs to be your number one prayer, some of you. You just self-destruct just like a button. Bam, 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 you hang out. What happens is, you know, I hate this. Don't hang out with so-and-so because you know when you hang out with so-and-so, stuff happens. Nah, oh yeah, I'm good. Why are you going over there? I'm not. You know, it's going to turn out bad. No, I got it. Then what happens? Boom! Drama. Jesus wants to use you for something else besides your drama. And I know there's a lot of tails and hooks in you from the devil over the years, but I also know that Jesus is big enough to set you free, but you got to be open. Everybody say open. Here's another double O-O word, obedient. And you should find a place that wants to help you walk through that. Amen? And I will refer you to a couple churches later that can help with that. And here, you know, Don Davis always says this to me, and I've heard him say it to 24 other people, so it's kind of lost a little bit of its juice, but I like it. He says, Rob, and he's my spiritual pops. He's the founder of World Impact, or Urban Ministry Institute. He speaks worldwide. You know, you guys have met him, but some of you don't know who he is. He's an amazing man, and he says, Rob, what if my ministry was designed and God put it here just to find you? He always tells me, and I always feel jingly, and then the next dude comes rolling in, and I hear him, Joe, what if our ministry, and he means it, he's just, you know, it's just, but quite honestly, you know, maybe, here's an amazing thought, and I'll leave you with this. Maybe Rob Danz is not the pinnacle person of Restored Community Church ministry. Maybe one of you, or lo and behold, maybe all of you are God's men and women here to really fulfill God's call to restore. Maybe someday I'm going to be, remember when that fool did all that stuff wrong? I remember. Remember when he used to convict people and say stupid stuff and his wife always be shaking her head? I remember that guy, right? I want my plaque to be on the other side of that little wall right there, by the way. Right by the coffee bar. The reason why I say that is because broken people, you know, let's point out Antonio for a minute here. What a good looking guy. He busts out, he's, amen. Antonio, we love this guy. He's not only good looking, but once you get him to talk, he actually talks to people. Amen. And he talks a lot. He's a talented writer. He writes poetry and rap. I mean, he's done some rad stuff. But worldly-wise, the things for our young brother are stacked up against him. Things are broken, just like in all of our lives. He has stuff that's stacked up against him, just like any of you. Angel, any of you. But what if the whole purpose of our ministry is to pour Jesus into Antonio, and Antonio gets it and puts down all of the things that have been battling whatever his life is, fatherlessness, all these things, all the things that are passed down to family heritage, and what if it becomes one of the greatest preaching missionary street evangelists ever to be known by man? But it's not just him. Nick, how do we know it's not you? You come from a very different world, and you're a doctor in the middle of a setting. You guys are set. God's doing a lot of amazing things. You've got a beautiful family. All those things are going on. But what if Nick's the man? What if Nick's the man to lead the next 21s? Or what about Charles David? What if it's their baby's job to do this? I believe in people that are seemingly normal to be the people to carry this on, and for you busted up broken folk. I can't preach that enough, that when I say that, I mean it. Some of you think, well, he's just talking to the able-bodied minded people in here, not us crazy bipolars. You don't know me or my family. Amen? There's more medication in my house than a Pez dispenser. That's all I'm saying right now. And we take at least half of it, right? Amen. At night, Jen and I are dancing around the pill box. That's how we do. Do it. Oh, yeah, there you go. Thank you. I am definitely not getting through this. All right. I feel like we should have an announcement at the end of service every Sunday.
For those of you that were new to Restore Community Church today, we apologize for sections A through 7 and 9 through 12. Please come back next week when we'll try to work backwards.
Here's the thing, and I'm very serious about this, is that I'm very serious about what I just said. Our two new sisters here today going through brokenness and Jesus healing them, and the Yarnells and Felicia and all of you in this room, doesn't matter where you are, God really wants to use you to change the city, to change your home, to change the legacy that's been handed to you. Some of you have horrible legacies handed to you. And the Lord wants to fix that. Not only does he want to, the Lord will. The scripture says he's faithful. You can change everything that's been handed to you till right now. Or let's say you have the most godly parents in the world and you just happen to be Satan's spawn. It doesn't matter. Those things, I'm serious. Let's just say you're the worst kid in the world. You've just messed everything up. God can and will change your life. But you've got to walk away from the comfort of drama and walk into an open body of Christ like this who wants to love you. And by the way, we do believe things are sin in the Bible. People get confused between washing what Scripture says and loving people. I believe you can completely love somebody and not be okay with what they're doing. And I think that's true love. That's true love. My wife and I love each other through the most horrible, disgusting things we can ever do. That, to me, I know is true love because she loves me for the Rob Dans that I don't want any of you to see. Amen? And, of course, she's 110% perfect and beautiful, and so it's easy to love her. Amen. Let's just close on this today and continue. Evidently, this is going to become a 6-part series. Amen. I love that. Write one sermon and preach it for a month and a half. Literally. Here's the thing, guys, is that I don't know why you're here. I don't know why I think that God has you here. I think some of you, God has you here and you don't even know it on purpose. Maybe some of you are just passing by. Maybe some of you are in the middle of deep disobedience. Maybe some of you just got dropped off today for your first time. You're at Miracles or Harbor House or some of the places we deal with. Maybe you're just a normal couple from the suburbs coming in to hang out and hear this weird guy that everybody laughs at. I don't know why you're here, quite honestly, but I know that God is moving here. And I know that God is here. And I know that God is, guys, when I said this earlier about, you know what about our finances and stuff, I truly, in every way, shape, or form, I believe that God is making a movement to the nations and the cities with the people in this room. All we have to do is just hurry up and wait for you to receive that and engage. I just need you to engage. Our 5, 6 leadership families, whatever it is, the original 4 plus some, that whatever that is, they have been ministering for a long time, hard and heavy, and it is time to literally pass some of the batons off to people, and we need you to step up and be faithful. We ask a lot of people, a lot, and I'm not just looking for the people that have it together. I'm looking for the people who have the courage to let God change them, no matter if they're at negative 20 or not. You come up today smelling like crack and tell me that the Lord wants to use you and you want to heed that. I will walk you from point negative 20 with you, with Jesus healing you the whole way and walk you through you being used by God. We could send some of you out to be church planters, disciples, missionaries, people that love the lady next door, have a nursing home ministry. It doesn't matter what it is. We have big plans. We just need big folks with big boy and girl shoes on to come run and do it with us. Amen? Because we are mission. Restored is mission because Jesus is mission. His church is mission. It is, to be a believer is to be changed by God and to share that with other people. Isn't that the Great Commission and the Great Commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love him with everything I have. And with that, you get overflow. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the way we do that is with the Great Commission to go, to reach the lost, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To train them to be disciples, teaching them to obey. God is with us. That's it. Love God with everything you have. Give it to other people. Love God with everything you have. Give it to other people. Your job is to flesh it out. Make a game plan. We'll talk about all this stuff next time. Make a game plan. This is how we are going to purposely love. If you just go flailing along, well, I'm going to share Jesus with people. Woo! And then guess what? The phone rings. You get mad. Your kids are knuckleheads. Things happen. You're broke that day. You don't feel like sharing nothing with nobody. You didn't have a game plan. You were caught in the wind. You were blown away. Christianity is being purposeful. That's really one of the biggest disciplines I've ever learned is be on purpose and hold yourself to it. Amen? Before we move on, we pray. I didn't get to this part of my sermon today. Lo and behold, I don't know why. But we have ordered, I did that completely wrong. Watch this, though. Houdini! Got it. We'll pray and then I'll get these out. Before you leave today, grab a handful of our new cards. We have brand new restored cards. I heard in Evangelism Magazine that if they have rounded corners, people come to the Lord easier. Grand, right? And so these have rounded corners. But this is just, if you run into anybody that needs a clinic, needs a church, needs something like that, this is just start of our stuff. It's just a handout. It's come get oodles of these. Use the old ones first back there, please, and get them. So don't forget those today on the way out. Here it is. This is what I want to encourage you with. Yes, you can. Say it. Yes, I can. All right, Angel, tell him, yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
All right, tell your neighbor, yes, you can. You better believe that. Just imagine this life. Imagine this life for a minute to where your head hits the pillow at night. Seriously, listen. Imagine a life living for Jesus where your head hits the pillow at night and you actually have contentment in your heart that you were faithful today. Instead of that world of conviction and feeling like a hose head and you messed it up again. This is one of the biggest steps for believers. What we're missing is just living on purpose with Jesus, praying for somebody at work, purposely going to hang with a guy on the corner, loving, inviting somebody over to your house and showing them what God's doing in your life. This is what most of us are missing, right? When I hit the bed at night and I'm like, oh God, I didn't really, did I show out for you today? I worked on my computer well. I didn't cuss at anybody. But what about if I went to bed going, man, I shared with that lady today. And I don't even know if she gave her life to Jesus, but I prayed for her. And I knew, I saw the tears on her face. I knew the Holy Spirit was starting to intervene in her heart. And praying for so-and-so. And you know that those folks, my neighbors that we left groceries with today, I hope they never know it was me. But I just pray to Jesus that they're just blessed and the Spirit will open that up. And when I share the gospel, all these little things. And just go to bed. It is possible to go to bed in a state of righteousness. That sounds funny because we're righteous in Jesus, right? But I mean, actually being obedient. You can go to bed feeling obedient. Is that possible? But I'm a sinner. I got that. That's tattooed across my heart all the time. I have to fight it. I have to fight it all the time. But the point is that I can honor Jesus today. And he wants me to love him and love my neighbors. That's it. Amen? Let's break into deep theological discussion. Stand up. Let's pray. You know how we don't like to go long. Hallelujah. All right. Let's get downright uncomfortable and cheese ball and grab people's hands next to you. Oh, we even shut off the lights. That's bad timing. Bridge the aisle. Hold somebody's hand. If you have some kind of fungal thing going on, explain that to your neighbor. Here, Jason, you can just grab behind you and like make a T. Oh, yeah, that's good. The Bible says if we all hold hands connectively, power comes. Amen. I don't want to get mushy. I just want you to be encouraged that you can do this. Right? Let's just pray. God, thank you so much, Lord Jesus, today that that we can do this. Lord Jesus, we can. There isn't a person in here this morning, God, no matter where they are in their faith, that can't, number one, be saved by your grace and made new, and number two, actually be used to reach people for your glory. It's possible. It exists. You put it in your word. You've never lied to us. Your people have messed this thing up. You haven't messed up a dang thing. You are true. You are holy. You are right. You give us power. And what you say in your word is that you have equipped us to do even greater things than you did on the earth through your Holy Spirit. God, I just pray for a heart to receive today. Lord, that we, number one, we need to get onto you. Number two, this is the hard one, we need to get off of ourselves. And God, we need to give you glory. God, I pray for my beautiful drama mamas and daddies in this room. God, it is not fair, the things they have gone through, and my heart just completely breaks for them. But Lord, I know it would be to the devil's rejoice if they would stay stuck. That is exactly what he wants. And we know, Lord, that in your powerful name, God, that they don't have to be fake and completely glossy like some fool, but they can be open and real and be free and healed in your name, Holy Father. God, give them a foundation. God, they need to hear that more than anybody else in the world, that their foundation is nothing less than Christ alone, his righteousness, their foundation isn't made up on drama and people letting them down and people cheating them and taking their stuff and stealing their man. And it has everything to do with the man that gave all and that is their foundation. Spirit, just release them today. God, I pray for the rest of us that are convicted, Lord Jesus, a little bit or a lot, about how we've been living, about how we've been doing, if our walk isn't matching our talk, or if our talk isn't matching our walk. Lord, today is a day of grace. There are new mercies today and grace in Jesus. Today is a day to live for today. Not to worry about 20 years from now, Lord, but we want to be faithful today. We need to have joy today. We need to love on people today. Lord, need to love on the waitress today, Lord Jesus. We need to give something from my home today. Open up my house today. Share the gospel today. And tonight when we go to bed, our head will hit the pillow. Maybe with a little more joy in our hearts of faithfulness, God. Not needing to be secure in our salvation, but to be obedient to our God. So Lord, we love you. We want to love you more. And we want to love them more. Help us, God. If you have anything you need prayer for this morning, our prayer teams will be on the side or up front. If you just want to go to the altar this morning or up here and get down on your knees and pray for God just to kind of break your stony heart for people today. If you have something you need prayed for medically or with your family, would love to anoint you and pray over you for healing. Or anything you could think of this morning, we just invite you to come and to pray with us as we sing.
My God is here. No earthly temple could hold you. The earth itself is your footstool. Eternal glory, you step down to dwell among these sinful men. So rejoice, all you people, if His mercy makes you sing. Yes, rejoice as one people in the presence of your King.
Our God is here.
God is here, He is, our God is near, our God is near, He is, our God is here, our God is here, He is, our God is near, our God is near, He is, so we sing, oh we sing as the rejoice as one people in the presence of your King. Cause our God is here, our God is here, He is, our God is near, our God is near, He is, our God is here, our God is here, He is, our God is near.
Let's end with the promise.
God is near, He is, our God is here. Our God is here, He is, our God is near. Our God is near,
one more time.
He is, our God is here. Our God is here, He is, our God is near. Our God is near to us.
Amen.